On 28th of June 2023, Pulsar Observatories worldwide released a dataset that had the entire astrophysics community talking. This data not only confirmed the detection of large gravitational waves, but also hinted at the possibility of new physics. Professor of Astrophysics Eric Thrain from Monash University walked us through this discovery, starting with what really are pulsars.
Pulsars are these amazing dead stars that flash very regular radio beams at Earth. And we've known about these for a while. And radio astronomers realized early on that the pulses we get from these rotating stars that go boop, 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 boop at Earth are extremely precise clocks. And so over the years, since pulsars were discovered, people have used the precision with which these little beeps of radio waves arrive at Earth in order to do precision experiments. You can actually get pulsar clocks that rival the very best atomic clocks that we can build on Earth. You could use these pulsars, these clocks, to look for ripples in the fabric of space-time. So gravitational waves occur in Einstein's theory of general relativity when large objects like black holes go around each other, and they cause space and time to stretch. Your listeners are imagining me, like if a gravitational wave passed through me right now, I would momentarily get a little bit shorter and a little bit wider, and then the next moment I would get stretched the other way. I'd be a little bit taller and a little bit narrower. And we think that these gravitational waves, or we know that these gravitational waves are passing through us all the time. The reason we don't feel them, though, we don't feel ourselves getting taller and shorter, is because they're almost imperceptibly small. You'll never feel one. You need to build an extremely sophisticated experiment to measure this stretching. And that's where pulsars come in. The regularity with which these pulsars send their pulses of radio waves at Earth can be used to look for the stretching space-time. And if we see some pulsars slowing down, so they were going boop, 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 you hear it getting slower and faster there, we can use that to say, the space-time in between us and that pulsar has gotten stretched out a little bit there for a second, and then it went back the other way. And by timing many pulsars across the sky, astronomers are very close to being able to definitively detect gravitational waves from black holes that are maybe 100 million or a billion times the mass of our sun.
Several news articles covering this topic mentioned that we were hearing a hum coming from these black holes. What is that about?
So if you have one gravitational wave signal from one pair of black holes, and you could convert the stretching of space-time into a sound. So sounds for your listeners are waves. They're a kind of wave. When you put on headphones, listen to music, you're listening to sound waves. And so you can take things that aren't sound waves and make them sound waves by just playing them through a speaker. So take two black holes going around each other and play that wave through a speaker, and it makes a chirping sound. It starts low frequencies and gets high frequencies, like a chirping bird. So I'll do an example for you. It goes whoop, like that, okay? But the time that it takes for supermassive black holes to go around each other is much, like that would be, that sound I made just now would be sped up many thousands of times because they take years to go around each other. So like that would be like a 20-year long audio file sped up to like a second, okay? That would be one pair of black holes, okay? But in fact, we think the universe is populated with many pairs of supermassive black holes, each maybe 100 million times more massive than our own sun. And so over the past 20 or so years over which this pulsar timing data set has been collected, these whooping chirps have been coming at us from all directions, but at random times. And so if you kind of combine a bunch of whooping noises, but like different directions, different volumes, different start times, they combine in a way that just sounds like noise. It sounds like television static. And so the hum that people talk about is this random cacophony of chirping sounds that all layer on top of each other until you can't hear the individual chirps anymore, which is to say, you can't make out the individual black hole binaries, the pairs of black holes going around each other. You just hear all of them kind of warping space-time at the same time.
What does this discovery mean for the future of astrophysics? What are the long-term implications?
In general, gravitational waves offer us as astronomers a way to see things that we can't see with conventional astronomy. So, for example, a billion solar mass black hole whirling around by itself is invisible. You can't see it. So gravitational waves give us this way to see some of these unseen objects. There are specific questions in cosmology, which is the study of how the universe came to be the way it is, that we are hoping to address. And one of them is how these billion solar mass black holes formed in the first place. Where do they come from? And there are competing theories on that. Maybe they are created from the merger many times of smaller black holes, or maybe they are fed and grown through accreting material like gas. But this is an unsolved problem in cosmology that we are hoping to address with gravitational waves. And there are some even more astounding possibilities that we might be able to probe with gravitational wave astronomy. It's possible that in the early universe, when things were very hot and the universe that we see today was contracted into a much smaller space, things happened that there was physics present that we are completely unaware of today. And some of these physical processes could have created gravitational waves that could be seen today with pulsar timing or with LIGO, Virgo, Cagra. And the kind of way you should picture this is as the universe is cooling and these physical processes are becoming relevant, but it's at temperatures that are too hot to see today, we could have had things happening where, which is like analogous to boiling water. It's like a phase transition. The universe is in one state, but then it transitions to another state in the same way that water transitions from a liquid to a gas, and these bubbles of new states of the universe appear, and the collision of these bubbles, these violent collisions, can create gravitational waves. We know that at early times, our understanding of physics breaks down, but we don't know how. So we don't know that these transitions happen, but they may have. And if we can see them in gravitational waves, that would be a revolutionary discovery. I need to then give a shout out to our Australian pulsar timing community here in Australia, which is Parkes Pulsar Timing Array. And the same day that the nanograv result came out, the European Pulsar Timing Array and the Parkes Pulsar Timing Array also had really interesting papers on this topic. Not all of the analyses are yet in perfect agreement, pointing to the same thing. And so one of the exciting things over the next year or so will be to see as these pulsar timing arrays all work together to see how new insights we're able to learn from combining all of the data from these collaborations all over the world in order to hopefully see an even more impressive signal.